You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tiffany Grant, and this is the Earn and Invest Podcast.
It was shortly after reading Brian Johnson's stellar book, Arete, I realized that being happy, feeling good, was not just a state of mind. In fact, I feel best when I follow certain habits every single day. They are really simple, yet really impactful. I feel much better if I stretch every single day, if I meditate at least 5 minutes, and if I walk at least 15,000 steps. For me, these habits have come to mean everything, and performing them every day does more for my mental state than almost anything else. These habits not only make me happier, but also help me progress in other areas of life. When I do them, I'm more likely to become a better podcaster, writer, and public speaker. Recently, podcaster and financial counselor Tiffany Grant did an episode on just this. Today, we talk 16 ways to make progress in your life. Tiffany Grant was a single mom of two boys going to school full-time and working two jobs trying to make ends meet. Now she has become a financial counselor, finished her MBA, and is the creator and host of the Money Talk with Tiff podcast. Tiffany Grant, welcome to Earn and Invest. Let's jump right in, Tiffany. What was the turning point from surviving, right, two jobs, running after the kids, to thriving, which is what it sounds like you're doing today?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. So I love that question because, of course, life is a series of events to get you to where you are now. And, you know, during that time, I was just so dead set on reaching my financial goals. And it wasn't until I took a step back and realized that, Tiffany, you kind of need to enjoy things a little more. So for me, as I was in the grind of things, I started to really focus on enjoying time with my kids. Like, it wasn't all about work and side hustling and all that stuff anymore. I wanted to enjoy life a little better. So that's kind of how I had that mindset change. And then also I'll add, putting in all that work on the front end is allowing me to take a step back now. So I'm glad that I did go through that process because I probably wouldn't have as much as I have right now as far as the business and everything else is concerned.
You come at this as part of a debt journey. And I think so many people are in that same place. We become so focused on our debt that, like you, we sometimes need to step back and realize that we can even slow our goals a little bit in order to start living the life we want to live, which is exactly what it sounds like you did.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when I first started this, my goal is to be debt-free by 30. And when I got close to 30, I said, Tiffany, you're still heads above, like, you know, the average 30-year-old. And so why do you even have this goal? And I started like checking into that, like, why did I even create this goal to begin with? And it was because I was listening to different financial gurus and stuff. And they're like, debt is bad and, you know, you need to get rid of it, which, don't get me wrong, I do still want to get rid of it. But I realized that it wasn't the enemy that I made it out to be, and that debt can be good in some instances. And so taking that mindset and changing it a little bit to tweak it to my life, I feel really helped me on this journey as well.
And you decided to eventually become an AFC, an accredited financial counselor. What exactly is that? And why did you choose that accreditation?
Yeah, so I used to study to be a CFP, so a certified financial planner, because I thought that was the route that I wanted to go. I thought that I wanted to handle people's investments, and I got a job at a firm, and I was helping these multimillionaires. And then I was like, this does not spark joy for me. This is not really what I want to do. I got tired of talking about estate planning and taxes, and that's pretty much the bulk of what they cared about. What really sparked joy for me was helping people pay off debt, helping them set financial goals and things like that. And so that's when I did some researching, stumbled across the AFC, and I ended up getting a scholarship to do it. So that's also another reason why I did it. I'm one of those people where I'll just apply to stuff randomly. And if I get it, cool, I'll do it. And if not, then cool, I won't do it. So I ended up getting the scholarship and started on that trajectory. And I wouldn't change it for the world. Like, this really gives me joy on a day-to-day basis. And just having clients tell me like, oh, I'm no longer scared to look at my bank account, or, oh, I can finally do a budget. You know, that's the stuff that sparks joy for me.
We're in a moment going to talk about 16 ways to make progress in your life. It was a podcast episode you did on Money Talk with Tiff. But before we get there, what do you love about counseling most? Like, what keeps you doing it?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So it's definitely not the money. I'll just be honest, because I don't make that much doing it. Kind of run that side of the business like a nonprofit, because I want to help the people that I want to help. But what it is, like I said, helping people have these aha moments with their finances, having people reach out to me and they're like, oh, I just paid off this credit card that I've had forever and I never thought that it would go away. Or, oh, I just took this vacation because I had the money. That's another thing. It's like, you don't know until you write these things down and you actually confront them. A lot of people take the ostrich approach where they just dig their head in the sand and they just ignore it. They just don't want to look at it. For me, I love the moments when we sit down, we actually get into the numbers, we look at them, we break them down, and they're like, oh, like, it's not as bad as I thought. And I'm like, see, you know, all of your mind is telling you like you're in this horrible space with your money, but in reality, it's not like that at all. So those are the type of things that really spark joy for me and keep me going in this, honestly. It's just those moments with the clients.
So we're talking the 16 ways to make progress in your life. This was actually part of a 2-episode podcast. So it's actually 32. We're going to talk about the first 16. But what I really love about this, and I talked a bit about it in my intro, is these 16 things are not per se money things. It's not like keeping a close budget, those type of things. On the other hand, as I mentioned in the podcast, when we get some of these things right and we make progress in our lives, we tend to do better at those things having to do with money, having to do with career, having to do with joy and purpose also. So I think it's such an important conversation. So let's start off right with number one, wake up early. First and foremost, how early do you get up? Because I get up at 5 a.m. and people look at me like I'm crazy.
So I don't wake up that early. Wake up at 6 because I do have kids. I got to get them on the bus and things like that. So I usually wake up at 6 a.m.
What do you think is the superpower of waking up early? I certainly have my opinions, but I'm wondering what you're going to say first.
Yeah, honestly. So, okay. When I first started on this entrepreneurial journey, of course, you make your own schedule, which is a gift and a curse. So early on, I was like, oh, you know, get up, do the kids. I can go lay back down, go back to sleep. I'll get up, you know, do some work in a little bit or whatever. But what I've learned over time is that if I just get up and stay up and get some work done, I can probably be done with my day by like 11, 12 o'clock. And I still have a lot of extra time left before my kids come home from school. And so for me, waking up early, like, first of all, you're up when most people aren't. And so you're able to, for instance, let's say catch up on emails. You can go ahead and send your emails out. And then as soon as people get to work or they're checking their email, boom, they see your email right then and there. But also for time management purposes, there's a lot that you can get done in those hours. And it really sets the tone for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Two things that you pretty much touched on are very true for me is one is my brain works better early in the morning. Like, I'm just fresher. I'm more ready to take on new things. I feel refreshed from sleep. And the other thing is there's just no one there to bother me, right? The kids are still sleeping. No one's calling me about work or any of those kind of things. So it's just, It's a really great time to get things done. Number two, read daily. And I have a big question about this. Like, I think reading is good in general. Does it have to be self-improvement reading, or is it any kind of reading?
Absolutely not. It can be anything. For me personally, I love self-improvement books. You know, I love business, personal finance, that type of thing. That's just my jam. But it doesn't have to be. Like, read just for joy if you want to. And the reason I put that in the list is because when you read daily, you're doing a few things, even if it's fiction, right? If it's fiction, you're taking yourself to another place. If it's nonfiction, you're making your reality different just by reading. And so reading opens up a lot of doors. And for me, I've been an avid reader my whole life. And I feel like that is part of the reason why I am where I am, is because you just learn different things, just like listening to a podcast. You just learn different things when you read different material.
I've really connected with this idea more recently, but the world runs on storytelling. Whether you work in corporate America, whether you're a tradesperson, whether you're a creative, we all tell stories constantly. And I do not know any other better way to become a storyteller than reading. Like, I think it is essential. And the more you read, the better you are with words, the better you are with expressing yourself. I certainly feel it a lot as a podcaster and a writer. Like, I think people ask me, well, how did you become an author, or how do you get into podcasting? I'm like, it all started with reading. It's just this habit of learning how to express yourself through listening to other people express themselves. And so I think it even goes as far as listening to podcasts or listening to audiobooks, because I think it's the same process of kind of delineating in your head how you coherently and succinctly talk about the things that are important to you. So I'm 100% in agreement with that. We are talking about the 16 ways to make progress in your life. One was wake up early. Two is read daily. Three is eat well. Part of me is seeing eat well as I'm sitting there going to gourmet dinners and eating all sorts of heavy, probably too much caloric food, but it feels well because it feels like I'm really treating myself. I'm not sure that's exactly what you meant here.
No, but if that's how you interpret it, then by all means. No, when I say eat well, you know, balanced diet, making sure you're fueling your body with the right stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. I am a work in progress in this area because I do love my food.
Yeah. Me too.
I do love my food and I do have an inner fat girl. But I will say that I have made a lot of changes lately in my life, and especially because I had a health scare fourth quarter of last year going into this year. And so I did start, you know, eating well, eating better, you know, we'll say that. And it's changed my entire, you know, health diagnoses and taking medicine and all that type of stuff. So I just actually stopped taking the medicine that they told me I would probably have to take for the rest of my life.
Wow,
just because I changed. Thank you. Just because I changed my diet. So that's what I mean by eating well. And like I said, you can always be a work in progress, but I'm a firm believer in, as long as you make at least 1% improvements every day, you'll get to your goal.
And I love this because that really transitions into ways to make progress numbers 4 and 5. You're talking about you being a work in progress, loving yourself, even kind of jokingly talking about the inner fat girl. But number 4 is love yourself, and number 5 is judge less. I feel like number 5, judging less, often has a lot to do with judging yourself less. In other words, loving yourself, which is number 4. I feel like those are intimately tied together.
Oh, for sure. For sure. They both definitely run hand in hand because, you know, the saying is comparison is the thief of joy, right? And so if you're judging other people, you know, you're comparing yourself, judging yourself where you're at with your situation, and therefore it makes it hard to love yourself because you're constantly like, oh, well, that person's skinnier, or that person has more money, or that person is this, whatever it is. And therefore you're not being grateful for the stuff that you already have and loving what you already have. And so absolutely believe that they run hand in hand. And that's why they're kind of together in the list as well.
So you say judge less, and we were just talking about judging ourselves. Let's talk a moment about judging other people. Maybe that's not the most positive thing for us, huh?
Not at all, but it's what we do all day, every day.
All day, every day. Yes. Yeah,
all day, sure. Every day. You know, just take a look at your social media feed, whatever social media you're on, and just start scrolling. You'll see somebody's going to be judging somebody, or you might see something and you're like, oh, I want to do that, or oh, I wish I could do that, or whatever. It's just a natural part of our society now. But until we take unless we make an effort to consciously not fall into those traps, then, you know, it's so easy to do, especially in this age of social media, for sure.
Yeah. And I think often when we judge other people, we miss what we can learn from them. And so even if someone is kind of acting in a way that you don't like, or you're judging kind of the way they do things, there's also a lot to be learned by other people. And you literally just cut them off that learning process the minute you start judging them.
Absolutely. And, you know, to that point, one of the things that I learned early on when it comes to money is just looking at my family and how they interacted with money. And so, yeah, I was kind of judging, but at the same time, I was learning lessons like, oh, this is not what I want to do. So let me take what they did, infuse what I've learned, and then change how I look at things a little bit.
So we're talking the 16 ways to make progress in your life, and we're on number 6, be yourself. I feel like this is like one of the most difficult ones, because does your average person really know how to be themselves? Do they even know who they are? Like, I know I struggle with this, and I feel like I've, you know, been through the ringer, gone through lots of stuff, and I still have to kind of dig down and say, well, who actually am I?
Yeah, we all struggle with this in different ways, shapes, and forms, honestly. And someone said to me one time, real imposters don't get imposter syndrome. So if you get imposter syndrome, you're probably not an imposter, but it happens all the time. And it's something that, you know, we can control in a way, but it takes a lot of conscious effort. So to give you an example, like when I started Money Talk with Tiff, I had no financial background. My degree was in business. I was in an HR career, nothing to do with finance, right? And so when I first started, I'm like, are people really even going to listen to me? Like, do I even have anything valuable to add, you know, with everything else that's going on? Do I even have anything valuable? And I learned that, yes, I do. And even though I didn't have the credentials, I didn't have the degree and all that stuff, people still found value in what I had to give. And so this, like I said, this is a work in progress as well. But I have learned over the years more and more that I do have value, and that this, even though sometimes I feel like an imposter, it's just me being in my head.
Yeah, and it really drives home the point. Imposter syndrome is not bad. What is bad is the analysis paralysis that comes along with it. So it's totally fine to feel like an imposter, but that doesn't mean you stop or don't move forward. And I think that's where people get really stuck. But most of us have it at some point in life. And as you were saying, if you're really out there doing something new and innovative and creative that lights you up, you're going to have some of that. Mm-hmm. So number 7 is set goals. And I have a mixed experience with goals. Like, I think goals are great, but I think goals can also be toxic, especially when they're really big and unreachable. What type of goals should we be setting?
Yeah, so I actually do a hybrid approach. So I do like these big audacious goals, like stuff that I know I'm not going to hit like immediately. But I set those, you know, like if the world was perfect, this is what I would want to accomplish, because then I can make more realistic ones that lead up to that. And I do understand, you know, how goals can be toxic. And this is something that I've talked about before as well, where if you put too much pressure on yourself to achieve these goals, then they can be anxiety inducing, you know, fear, all those different things. But here's my philosophy when it comes to goals. Love having goals because you have something to aim at. You know where you're going, but also realize that goals are also flexible. So like, for instance, when I work with my clients, we set financial goals, but as life happens, as things change, we just go back and revisit it and life is good. You know, it's fine. So I think where the toxicity comes in is when people feel like they can't change their goals, or they can't change directions, or they can't adjust you know, as life happens. And then that's when the toxicity or the fear or the anxiety and all that stuff comes in. But when you realize that, and the same thing with budgeting too, these are living, breathing things. You can change them as you go. Then it becomes more doable.
We are talking with Tiffany Grant. She was a single mom of two boys going to school full time and working two jobs trying to make ends meet. And now she's become a financial counselor, finished her MBA, and she is a creator and co-host of Money Talk with Tiff. And we are talking about 16 ways to make progress in your life. We're going to take a short break. I'm Doc G, and this is the Earn and Invest podcast. All right. So most of us know the bad news already. If you were using Mint as a budgeting app, it has shut down. But the good news is there's something better, and it's called Monarch Money. I started using Monarch Money myself about 5 months ago, and I knew immediately that I liked it more than any other budgeting app I had ever used. For one, it focuses on collaboration. This is easy to share with your spouse, your partner, your financial advisor. And it's aspirational. Not only can you look at your current budget, but what do you want to buy? What do you want your goals to be? You can focus on those in Monarch Money. It's the next generation of personal finance apps. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Furthermore, you can create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/earn. Again, that's monarchmoney.com/EARN. What I like about this app is it's intuitive, easy to use, quick to sign on. It's collaborative, as we talked about. It's customizable. The idea is you can use this app the way you want to use it. And the reason why is the Monarch Money team is customer focused. They are focusing on you, me, and all the other people who want to use this app to live a better financial life. After trying out Monarch Money for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/earn. That's monarchmoney.com/EARN for your extended 30-day free trial. You know what? I love our meals from Factor. My son started getting them about a year ago when he needed a quick alternative to meals on the go. But where we've really enjoyed them is we've been remodeling our kitchen. That's right. We've had no access to our kitchen for the last few weeks. And some nights, we just had no idea what to do for a meal. That is where Factor came in. We would just pop the meal in the microwave, and 2 minutes later, we'd have a fantastic meal. You can do the exact same thing, and there's tons of variety. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week. These are chef-prepared meals, and let me tell you, they are delicious. No fuss, no mess. You just put it in the microwave, and 2 minutes later, you have a meal. This is tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Head to factormeals.com/earn50 and use your code EARN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code EARN50 at factormeals.com/earn50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We are back with Tiffany Grant. She is the creator and host of the Money Talk with Tiff podcast, and we are talking about 16, and I should say 16 of 32, but we're just talking about the first 16 ways to make progress in your life. Number one was to wake up early. Number two is to read daily. Number three, eat well. Number four, love yourself. Number five, judge less. Number six, be yourself. And number seven, set goals. Number eight goes right back to tactics. Plan your day. I have to admit, Tiff, like, I am happier when I have a plan for the day, and I'm happier when I have a plan for the week, which surprises me, because when I was in the midst of working a lot and hating my job, all I wanted was what I thought was freedom. And freedom looked like an open calendar. And I'll tell you, now that I have that freedom, I do not like an open calendar.
Absolutely. So there's two things I want to say here. So number one, at a conference, I spoke at a conference, and of course, you know, I was listening to the other speakers. And this one guy, he was like, he plans his days 2 weeks in advance. And now this guy's a multimillionaire. He travels the world. And he was even saying he only has what's in two suitcases. That's all he has to his name. And he just travels and he stays wherever he wants to stay. And he has that flexibility. But when he said that, I said, oh, well, that's interesting. Like planning your day 2 weeks in advance, like, how do you do that? But his point in saying that was, if you plan, then it's going to be really hard to not reach your goals. Like if you're planning your days, like for instance, we knew we had to record this podcast, that's a goal that's checked off, you know, and so on and so forth. So I realized, I'm like, maybe I should do more planning. And then the second thing for me is I struggle with anxiety. So I've always had anxiety for pretty much my whole life, anxiety and depression. And I realized that when I'm more structured, that helps with my anxiety as well. And so for me, it serves a double purpose. It keeps me sane. It keeps my anxiety at bay. But then also it allows me to work towards my goals and be able to reach them. You know, to his point, if you're planning your days, it's just going to be really hard to not accomplish what you want to accomplish.
And all of this really makes me think of purpose. That's number 10. Number 9 is have a positive attitude. We're going to skip past that to number 10, have a purpose. People who know me and listen to my podcast know that I'm actually writing a book on purpose. So I do a lot of deep thinking about purpose. But this episode's not about me, it's about you. So tell me about have a purpose or have purpose. How do we figure out what that should be?
Yeah, sure. So there's a few things that you can do when you're trying to figure out, okay, what was I put here for? Or what is it that I need to be doing? So one thing that I've noticed is that you'll have recurring themes in your life. So for instance, in my case, I've always had a business ever since I was like 5 years old. I just love business. And so I knew that eventually I would be an entrepreneur. Didn't know I would be a full-time entrepreneur, but I knew it would be somewhere in there. And so that was a recurring theme in my life. I've talked to other people. One lady I know, one of my friends, she has a cleaning business. And she said when she was younger, she used to always love to clean. And so that was a recurring theme in her life. Another way you can look for it is you can see what other people come to you for. So I bring this up to people that are like, well, I don't know what I'm good at, you know, that type of thing. Well, what do other people see you good at? And usually that's a clue or indicator as well, what your purpose may be. The third thing, which if you do have some idea of what you're good at or what you enjoy, just create a list and see what is on that list. For me, I really enjoy talking. I've talked my entire life. I used to always get in trouble for talking. And so I realized that I am a great talker. So therefore, I'm a great speaker. And therefore, I'm a great podcast host. So this is something that is, again, another recurring theme. It's something that people come to me for. People are like, oh, Tiffany, you can be the man. Like anytime I was in a group, I'll be honest, they're like, looking at me to be the one to answer or to be the one to be the mouthpiece. And so I realized that that was something that I was good at. So those are the three ways that you can kind of figure out what your purpose is or what it is that you want to do either for a business or, you know, something that you enjoy.
I'm going to jump to 12, which is help others. 11 is find inspiration. I think that is very much tied to purpose and how we find purpose in life. Part of that is by seeing what other people do and seeing what inspires us. But then number 12 is help others. And I'm interested in how that ties into purpose too, because how much of purpose and what we spend our time doing is kind of internally motivated and about us versus number 12 is saying, you know, let's turn that external. And let's talk about help others. How do we kind of contrast that, especially when we're thinking about purpose?
Yeah, so I think it's and, right? So for me, if I didn't have bills, I would totally do Money Talk with Tiff for free. Because for me, this is something that I feel is my purpose to help people. And it does have that extrinsic motivation as well as the intrinsic motivation, right? Also, I've realized this is something that I believe in too, is that we all have energy around us, right? And so if we are stingy with our energy, aka we don't help people, then we can't expect that energy to come back to us in any way. And so in order to keep the energy flowing and the energy moving, I believe that me helping others, like even when I do stuff for free, it's like it comes back tenfold. And I don't expect it to come back tenfold. I do it with, you know, open heart. But at the same time, that's usually what happens. And so you also have to look at that as well. You know, a closed fist, you can't get anything with a closed fist. And so all of that to say, I do a lot of volunteering in my community. I serve on a ton of boards. I had to cut back on some because I was doing a little too much, but I serve on a ton of boards. I do free speaking engagements occasionally. And so there's a lot of things that I do to give back. You know, the podcast is free, the blog is free, all of these things that I'm putting out there to the world. And I've learned, like, even on this entrepreneurial journey, there's been times where I'm like, how do I even make it? Like, I don't know where this money is coming from or how I'm able to pay my bills, but it happens. And that ties into purpose. I feel like when you are walking in your purpose and you're doing what you're put here to do, those things, of course, sometimes you have to worry about it, but really you don't. Like, you will be provided for because you're doing what you're supposed to do.
I love the litmus test for purpose. Would I do it if I wasn't being paid for it? But the funny thing is, when you answer yes to that, that doesn't mean that someone eventually won't pay you to do that. And in fact, often because these things light you up, as you were saying, you put yourself authentically out there, and that can lead eventually to a paycheck and hopefully supporting yourself and thriving, which is, I think, very much your story of someone who was kind of so concentrated on the debt that when you became more authentic and said, no, how can I be of service? How can I help other people? How can I do things that light me up more? You actually found the money eventually came.
Absolutely. You know, for me, I get all the time, oh, I can hear your passion. Oh, I love your passion. Like, I could just feel your energy. And to me, that's important because if I had to wake up, like, for instance, when I was in HR, I really had to slow down and realize that even though I loved HR, this is not my purpose. And I was having, I was being stressed. I had health issues, all these different things because I wasn't working on what I was supposed to work on. And so you'll start to realize that life just ends up being a little smoother when you're walking in your purpose, in my opinion. And so that's why I'm like, I need to stick with this. I've realized whenever I get off track with Money Talk with Tiff, my life gets off track. And so that's another litmus test, you can say, is, you know, if you switch your focus, how do things, you know, how are things for you? And the same thing with relationships and anything else, you know, when you switch, what does your life look like? And a lot of times, you know, the universe, God, whoever, will make things very uncomfortable for us until we do what we're supposed to do.
So we are talking the 16 ways to make progress in your life. Let's move on to 13, building your network. I have trouble with this one because it's hard for me to feel like I'm doing it authentically. And it feels sometimes yucky, like I'm going out in the world and trying to get something out of you, as opposed to I'm celebrating you or helping you, or we're just forming a friendship. How do we make networking feel good?
Just have conversations, honestly, because a lot of times when I'm having conversations with people, I don't want anything out of it. You know, I'm just having a conversation, but they'll be like, oh, I know someone that can help you with that, or let me connect you with this, or, oh, this will be something interesting, and vice versa. And so for me, I just have authentic conversations, and that builds my network. Now, I know there's people listening, they're like, well, Tiffany, I am an introvert. I do not like talking to people. So I don't know how this would apply. And honestly, in those situations, because I know quite a bit of introverts, of course, I'm not one. I'm very heavily extroverted. But one thing that I've seen them do is it's easier for for them to do things virtually. So, you know, maybe, you know, you're chatting on Twitter or Instagram, whatever, and you're making connections that way, that still counts as building your network. So don't think that it has to be, oh, I need to hop on this phone call, or, oh, I need to talk to somebody in person. That's totally not the case. There's a lot of people in my Twitterverse that we are really close friends. We never met each other. So, you know, you can build your network in many different ways. You know, just kind of think outside the box when it comes to that.
Way 14 to make progress in your life is save money. We're not going to talk about that now because we've talked about it ad nauseum, probably on your podcast and my podcast. Likewise, number 15 is automate, something that we've kind of tread and retread before. Number 16, the last one, however, is delegate. Are we horrible delegators? Because I know I end up doing 99% of everything myself. I say I'm going to delegate and I never quite do it.
Yes, I would say delegation is a life hack because most people don't do it, including myself for a while. I'm the type of person, I'll be honest, I'm a perfectionist. I like things done a certain way and I like to do them because I know that they'll get done right. But what I have learned, especially in this entrepreneurial journey, is that if I don't delegate, then I'm holding myself back. And also in my personal life as well. So to give you an example, one thing that I do not like to do and I feel like I'm not good at is cleaning. I just never enjoyed cleaning. Even growing up, I never really had chores. So I blame everybody else. No, I'm just kidding. But I do not like cleaning. And so one thing that I did when I first bought my house back in 2017 was hired a cleaning lady. I love having a cleaning lady because it might take me 3 hours to do a bathroom because I'll sit there and put the chemicals in and I'll let it sit and I'll go do something else and it never gets done. I'm like, oh, I forgot to finish the tub. And so it takes me forever to clean. Meanwhile, I hire her and she can do the whole house in 2 hours. And so for me, it's a better use of my time if I take that time and put it towards something that I either enjoy or makes money or what have you while she handles that task. And the same thing with business as well. For a long time, I struggled with email and responding to people's emails, but because I was like, oh, I don't really want somebody in my email. They might mess something up. They might respond to something wrong, whatever. But what I've learned is if you train people correctly and if you have templates and stuff like that, then you can delegate that stuff. And there, don't get me wrong, there may be mistakes, but it'll be minimal mistakes and it won't be anything that will be detrimental to you or your business. So I finally let email go and it's been the best thing. I've made way more money just having someone sort through my emails for me. So I say all of that to say, sometimes the lack of delegation can hold you back in your personal and your business life. And it's not until we start thinking through what are these tasks that I can get rid of that someone else can do, maybe even better, and I can spend my time doing something else. And one of the strategies I use for this is the Eisenhower method, which you do, it's like four quadrants, and one is urgent and important, one is urgent, not important, one is not important, but urgent, you know, so on and so forth. And then there's not urgent, not important. So everything that falls in the delegate, which is important, but not urgent, those are the things that you need to farm out. And you can do that with your personal life or your business life.
So we are talking about the 16 ways to make progress in your life. These are obviously aspiration, right? I mean, we can't stick to all this, but what does this get you? So you, if you stick with these things, how's your life going to change?
Well, I can speak for myself. You know, my life, you know, outside looking in, people look at me and they're like, dang, Tiffany, how do you get so much accomplished? Like, you have so much going on. You have so many things and all of this and all of that. How are you doing it? Especially with kids. Like, I get every day somebody's telling me this. And this is why. Like, I implement what I can implement when it comes to, like, for instance, this list. I use a lot of technology. I use a lot of, like, tricks and things to make my life as easy as possible. And so, of course, you can't do everything all at once. But you can do one thing today and maybe implement another thing in like a couple of weeks, you know? So slow and steady wins the race. This has been years in the making, especially when it comes to business and life and things. I didn't do all of this overnight, but I will say, as I started making progress, the snowball effect happened. And so now when outsiders are looking in, they're like, oh my gosh, how do you do it all? And for me, I'm like, cool as a cucumber, you know? So this list is very aspirational. It's okay to do one thing, get that thing down packed for the next few weeks or so, or even months, and then add something else. So don't overwhelm yourself with this list. It's just a list. You know, let's be real, it's just a list. But you can start implementing little by little. And then eventually you'll get to a point like, oh, like I'm doing most of the things on this list now. So that's my thoughts on that.
Well, Tiffany, I really wanted to thank you for coming on the show. We're talking about the 16 ways to make progress in your life, but we're really talking about our habits. And just like I talked about in my introduction, the habit of stretching every day and getting in my steps, those aren't my goals. Just like waking up early is not our, you know, general life goal. But when you show up every day with those habits, you tend to grow in other ways. And I feel like by doing these basic things that are good for us, we get closer and closer to the deeper, more purposeful things we want to do, even when some of these habits don't always feel 100% purposeful or don't feel 100% important. But it's the practice of doing them and taking care of ourselves and being open-minded. I want to end the show the way I end every show by asking you what is going on with you and where people can find you. So what is up next for Money with Tiff? And specifically, if people want to reach out, how do they reach you?
Yes. So thank you so much for having me. I love this conversation. It was awesome. I nerded out. But you can find Money Talk with Tiff, the podcast, wherever you're listening to this one. Also, I have a blog out there. I've been really focused on getting the blog. I made a lot of changes. And so I've been really focusing on that. So that's moneytalkwitht.com. And then also you can find me on social media everywhere, literally everywhere. I have a slight addiction. That's something I'm working on, but it's at Money Talk with T. You can find me wherever you're at.
Tiffany Grant, thank you so much for being on Earn and Invest today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's a wrap.
Earn and Invest is now part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to this show as well as other fine podcasts.
I love this conversation with Tiffany because it makes me think a lot about how we find happiness and success in life. You guys have heard me talk multiple times about coaching, and in my Path to Purpose coaching, that is at earnandinvest.com/coaching, we talk a lot about meaning and purpose and how they lead to happiness. So we help a lot of people deal with meaning, which is really talking about their past. What narratives and scripts and generational trauma do they have that's not serving them today? So we're talking about going back to their past and reinterpreting those bad generational narrative scripts that are hurting them, rewriting those scripts. That's meaning. Then we talk about purpose, which is all about present and future and action. And we're really talking about how we build in the activities that they love to do. How do we get them to live lives that feel purposeful today? Not goal-oriented purpose, but process-oriented purpose. Purpose where they enjoy doing what they do, regardless of the outcome. But there's a parallel issue, and it really revolves around analysis paralysis. Knowing better is one thing, but then we also have to do better. So a lot of what I talk about in my coaching is how we know better. We know better by getting a better sense of meaning and then delving into purpose and pursuing a better sense of purpose. That's the knowing side. The question is, how do we get to doing? And that's why I really like this conversation today with Tiffany. It's about how we make progress. And I really think a lot of the way we make progress is through habits. So we have these habits like the 16 habits we talked about today on the show. And by becoming a good steward of those habits, we're much more likely to take action on all that cognitive work that I often do with my coaching clients. So we do a lot of cognitive work around meaning and purpose, but then we have to take action. And the way we learn how to take action is by having really good habits. We take care of ourselves. We wake up early. We be kind to other people. We be very thoughtful. We think about purpose. We be kind and generous with ourselves. We do all these things that Tiffany and I were talking about, because by building these habits in, by taking action in the little things in our lives, we eventually get good at taking action in the big things in our lives. So if we want to forgive ourselves of our generational trauma, we have to get used to treating ourselves well. If we want to start living a purposeful life and doing those things that light us up, we have to have the courage to be good and kind to ourselves. We have to have the good habits of taking care of ourselves in order to move forward. I get this a lot. A lot of times we know better, but it's really hard to do better. The question is, how do we push ourselves to be people of action? Because ultimately, I've said this many times, purpose is all about action. Meaning is about thoughts. Purpose is about action. And as we discussed actually in the episode from the Economy Conference, just knowing better doesn't mean that we do better. There's a disconnect between realizing what's good for us and what makes us happy, and then having the courage to take the steps to do it. The way you get that courage is very much what Tiffany and I talked about today. The way you get that courage is you develop these habits. You learn how to make progress in life. And so how have I done that? I mean, I know that I make good progress. I live a better, happier life. I'm better at understanding meaning and purpose in my life when I wake up early. I mean, that's big for me. You guys have heard me talk about that before. I wake up at 5 a.m. I make headway in life when I stretch every morning. I don't know what it is. It's the act of doing it. I do it for myself. I physically feel better and I have a better outlook on the day. I make progress when I walk 15,000 steps every day. It is what it is, whether it's jogging, whether it's exercising in some other way, or whether my wife and I just set out and take a nice long walk. I accomplish more in life when I do these things. Same with meditation, same with reading. All of these things, these habits, actually make me more likely to do the more difficult stuff, like pursuing purpose. I'm not big on goals, but if I do build some goals into my purpose, I always say the purpose should be goal agnostic, but not goal phobic. I'm much more likely to meet those goals if I have and follow these important habits. So that is my challenge to all of you. Hit me up on Facebook, earnandinvest.com/Facebook. Tell me, what are the habits that support you, that you do every day, that then give you the courage to take action on things like purpose? I think if you develop these habits, you'll find yourself a lot more successful and, more importantly, a lot happier. All right, I leave things running just for a few minutes for us to kind of catch the after show, whatever we talk about. What did we miss? What didn't we talk about?
We talked about a ton.
Well, that's why, honestly, that's why I love this list, because I saw you do a podcast on it and I listened to it and I'm like, oh, that's perfect. And I hate to say it, one of my favorite techniques with content creators is I love to take something that they did that I really like and respect, and then kind of delve and talk around it in my own podcast. And because I think it helps highlight what you do and also just create some fun content around what you've already done. So you're already in that mind space as we start. But I think it was just a great episode you did, because we lose track, right? We get very goal-oriented and we get very big goal-oriented. And it's like, this is exact opposite. Like, what can I do today that's going to make me better? Make life better, make me happier, make me closer to my goals. And like, these are all just concrete things we could do. Any of us can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And slow and steady wins the race. Like, when I originally saw the list, I can't take full credit. I saw it on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And when I originally saw the list, I was like, oh, like, this is stuff that I've kind of implement, you know? And so I was like, this is something that I need to talk about on the podcast, with how I implement these things, because that's a lot of the questions I get, like, how do you do this stuff? And so I felt like it was a good conversation to have on the podcast, and sharing the tools and resources that I use to make it happen.
And what I love about this is, like, rich people can do this, but poor people can do this, right? Young people can do this, old people can do this. Anyone can kind of start thinking about these things. And so if you're one of those people, because we get a lot of, like, granted, the people who listen to my podcast tend to be people who are kind of middle-aged, mostly educated, and fairly well-off. But I always hear the feedback, yeah, it's really easy to talk to those people and start suggesting what they should do with their money and how they should invest. But there's a lot of people out there who have very little and are just struggling. And what I really love about this type of information is it doesn't cost anything. It does take some time and energy, but it's there for you. Like, and it's there for rich people, it's there for poor people, it's there for everyone. And that's why I really like that. Because, like, if you are stuck and you're like, I am in a hole and I'm not getting anywhere, like, this is a great place to start in building what, getting out of the hole, building the life you want. And I think that's actually your personal story. Because when you talked about your personal story in the beginning, like, I think you very much were kind of like in the struggle area. And then it was a very big mindset change to be like, wait a minute. Like, yes, I'm not where I want to be. Yes, I still have a ways to go, but can I turn this around so it doesn't feel like I'm just constantly struggling?
Yeah. And, you know, with stuff like this, it has the potential to change your life. And, you know, struggle is not even the word. Like, I was living like refund check to refund check, not even paycheck to paycheck. Like, it was rough. But once I started having, you know, educating myself a little more, starting having the mindset change, I said, you know what? I can do things differently. And, you know, I do things on my timeline and how I want to do them. And that was really helpful. It wasn't like, oh, I need to make sure that this family member is happy, or that, you know, I need to impress people or whatever. Like, if you see my car right now, you're like, Tiffany, what the heck? get a new car. But you know what? I'm not here to impress anybody. If it gets me from point A to point B, I'm happy. And therefore, everybody else should be happy for me too. So that's kind of the mindset that I have, is more of like doing what makes me happy. And that mindset shift had to happen in order for me to make the progress that I have made.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
The corporate world is like the ocean. It's alluring, but it's also full of deadly creatures that can shred you to pieces.
It becomes kind of like a Game of Thrones political arena where everyone's trying to murder you to get your job.
My family doesn't come from corporate background, so I didn't have any sort of guidance in that.
This is not your typical work podcast.
Sometimes you need to be empathetic. And then there are times that you ask for input, but you don't really give a shit.
Listen to the Ambie Award-nominated podcast, Surfing Corporate.
Stretch opportunity. What is this, yoga class? Get out of here.